Hi, this is the To-Do List of the Semi-Adult Podcast with Ray from Ray's Days and Jules from Oven Lovin', where we talk about never having it totally together, but faking it anyway. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Jules. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What have you been up to lately?
Well, I'm talking to you from California.
Woo!
I know. I'm here visiting my parents. My dad just had surgery and my mom was in the hospital for a few days, so I'm trying to take care of them.
That sounds super stressful. Is everyone doing okay?
Everyone is doing great now. I feel like I'm finally at the point where everyone's okay, and mom's getting stronger and dad's a beast. He's like totally pretty much recovered from his surgery and walking, and so everything's good, but it was really stressful for a while.
Yeah, speaking of adults, that's a really adult thing to handle.
Yeah, I think it was like in the coming days before my flight out here, I was like, man, this is actual, I've never felt more adult than when I'm planning a trip to like take care of my parents.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that everyone is doing better and is doing okay and getting healthier.
Me too. I have learned that I never want to own a home, which I was like pretty sure of before, but now that I've been taking care of theirs, it's way more work than I ever want.
That's funny that you say that, because I also visited my family. We just had like a little family reunion last weekend, and I stayed with my brother and his wife, and they had a lot to do around the house to get, you know, kind of to get ready for the gathering, and they were talking about that too, about how much work it is to own a home. And I love the idea of owning, not necessarily a home, but maybe like an apartment or condo or something, where it's not, you know, you don't have as much space or as much stuff to do. Yeah, and in condos, I think sometimes they help you take care of some stuff and they're in charge of the outside or something. I don't know. So maybe it's a little less work, but I'll have to investigate that at a later date.
I grew up like taking care of, like part of my chores growing up was the pool. Mm-hmm. And I knew when AJ and I were looking at houses to buy, like a couple years ago, I knew I didn't want to own a pool because of that, because there's so much work to maintain. But now I pretty much don't want to own anything.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could change my mind. But for now, it's a good. I feel at peace knowing that we rent.
Yeah.
So we got some fan mail that was awesome.
Yeah, we did.
It was from Xavier, and he gave us lots of compliments, and it was really nice.
Yeah, thanks so much for writing. It was so fun to get that email.
That was awesome. And I also want to encourage anyone to email us or send us questions. I think it would be fun to give.
Yeah, and you can always reach us on the blog, or you can reach me too at raisedays@gmail.com.
And I am at Jules, Jewels Franer, Franer @gmail.com. So thank you, Xavier. That was so fun.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I was thinking we could talk about kind of a guilty pleasure sort of thing about young adult movies and books and paraphernalia, different stuff like that, because we're kind of, you know, trying to be adult and trying to be grown-ups, but I like these like teenager drama-filled soap operas or trashy books or not trashy books that are meant for teenagers. I'm like really into it.
I love them. I love them, and I feel so guilty for loving them, but I love them.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I've decided at one point a year or two ago, I just decided I didn't have any more guilty pleasures, and they were all pleasures. And I've That's been awesome. Trying to own that ever since. And that includes, I own like 3 of the 4 Twilight movies, and I watch them like a lot. Like not a little, like kind of a lot. And so I'm just trying to own it now.
I feel like that with like animated movies. I think when I was coming home, I asked my parents if they wanted me to bring any movies and ended up reading them to them, like what we owned, and it was like mostly Pixar and like animated movies.
I have watched Frozen like 10,000 times, like probably more than your average 5-year-old.
That's great though. I don't know. I don't know if it's, do you think it's like nostalgia?
Sometimes, yeah, I don't know. It feels so comforting and like it's really easy to watch. And I like sometimes mm-hmm. having shows or movies that can just keep you company. Like they don't really take your whole attention and they are just something like on in the background. Like I watched Frozen so much partly because when I was packing to move to Chicago, I didn't have cable, and so I just wanted something to make noise. And that was like a fun movie and had these cool songs, and so I just would play that basically on repeat while I packed. And
that's how I feel about The Prince of Egypt,
yeah,
which I'm pretty sure like everyone I went to college with hates me for, because I would watch it so often. But it was just like the songs are beautiful and it was really nice to have on in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that you know and you're familiar with, so you can just like let it be background noise.
And I still watch it all the time. I'm like not over it. I love it.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Can we talk about some of the things we love?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, okay. So I want to talk about The Secret Life of the American Teenager, which was an ABC Family series.
That tragically came to an end, I think, last year. Jules and I have watched every single episode of Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Yeah. And so I was a little bit behind you towards the end of this series. And AJ, I was watching it and AJ gave me such a hard time. He was like, there is no way Ray is still watching this show. There's no way. And I had to like text you for backup to be like, no, this is like, we are watching this to the end. We are committed.
Yeah. And it was really bad. I mean, it was like not a good show. And I watch a lot of, I have a variety of interests. So that's why I feel okay too about liking this stuff. I mean, you can also only like the stuff that's okay too. But I feel like I like a variety of things. And like, I watch a lot of good TV and a lot of like, I don't know. It's still pleasurable. So it's not like bad TV necessarily, but it's not like, you know, it's not breaking ground in like new stories or anything like that, or new techniques. But yeah, the end of that though, like the last season, it got like legitimately bad. Like it was kind of so tough to be like, I've hung in there this far and I would like to like see how this all turns out, but it got pretty bad.
Yeah, I feel like there's a difference. Like I definitely watched Secret Life and it was like, the acting was pretty terrible throughout the series.
Yeah.
And, like, they had those themed episodes that were, like,
yes.
This episode is going to be about, I can't even,
it was
sex
like,
or whatever.
I know. But it was, like, it was very much, I thought, it felt like something you would watch in health class in high school that was, like,
right.
Warning you against, like, being promiscuous or, like, how to handle, like, someone with loose morals being your friend or something. Like, that's like, what it was like to me. I don't know.
But then there's other, like, Pretty Little Liars, which is also on ABC Family, I think is a legitimately good show.
Yeah, I like that show a lot, too. I'm not all the way caught up on it, but I like that a lot, too. You know what I think, though, about Secret Life? I think it was the writing that made it that bad. Because, you know, that main girl who was on it, Shailene Woodley, mm-hmm. is, like, the star of, like, all these movies now. She's in Divergent. She was, like, in that movie with George Clooney. And she's, like, pretty good. And has all these different opportunities, and she was, like, not even good in Secret Life. And I don't think it was her fault. I'm choosing
no,
to
I
believe that.
No, I feel like
that.
it was written by, like, dads of teenage
yes.
daughters. Because the characters were all, like, really entitled. And, like, teenagers are, like, pretty self-obsessed and angsty and entitled. But, like, that show just took it to a whole new level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't feel like most of the dialogue was very natural. And then the main character, was her name Amy?
Amy, yeah.
Amy's mom was really like irrational and crazy too.
Yeah,
so
she
I feel
was
like it
crazy.
Was just like this like these stereotypes of
yes.
these people.
And it was kind of preachy too. It was pretty preachy.
Yeah, it was pretty preachy. What would you say your favorite pleasure is?
That's a good question. I guess probably the animated stuff, because I watched Finding Nemo a lot. That is like my go-to movie if I am sad. I will watch Finding Nemo. But I also watch it sometimes when I'm happy. So it's not like exclusively when I'm sad. But like if it's like been a rough day or like a really traumatic life event, I will put on that movie. And I like Monsters, Inc. a lot too, and like Frozen, like we said. Also, if we're counting Harry Potter in young adult.
Yeah, I was going to say Harry Potter, but I also, that's the one young adult series I don't feel bad about because we were children when we started liking it. So I like don't really feel bad about Harry Potter, but I do watch it a lot.
Yeah, anytime there's a Harry Potter weekend on ABC Family, I am all over it. And I own all the movies and all the books, obviously. And it's very much a comfort thing. And, like, we grew up with that and we're excited about it. And there's so many, I mean, adults can enjoy it. Anyone can enjoy that, too, because it's a very high-quality story. And there's a lot of layers and things to glean from it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it has a lot of, like, pretty good life lessons.
Yeah. Yeah, did you see that study that just came out that said people who read Harry Potter are more empathetic because they're like introduced to different these different kinds of types of characters and people who are experienced discrimination in the book?
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And reading, I think, does that anyway because you're exposed to all these different worlds, but it was a study, you know, on Harry Potter.
I wonder if it's the people who enjoy Harry Potter that are more empathetic to begin with, or if it's Harry Potter that makes them empathetic.
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like it is so pervasive that I feel like it could be both. Like, not everyone who picks up Harry Potter would start being, you know, would start out as an empathetic person and vice versa. So I feel like maybe it's both because it's like so widespread. I also read this thing. I think part of that study was that people who identify with Voldemort more are like more, I don't even know, like more, I don't want to say racist, but like less accepting or something. It was like something like that. Like if you are on Voldemort's side, you're like not as cool of a person.
I think that's probably true in any case. I feel like if someone came up to me and was like, yeah, I really like Voldemort, I, like, couldn't hang out with them.
I know. And, like, I'm, like, into bad guys, but not him. Not Voldemort.
Right? But I also – one of the things I love about the Harry Potter series is that the books and the storyline became more complex.
Yes.
Like, the first book is easy to – it's so easy to read and it's so simple. Mm-hmm. And it grew with us. Like it was our generation's series.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think I even read the first book maybe when I was 12.
11 or 12. Like I was definitely younger than 11 because I remember thinking like, I wonder if I'll get a letter. Am I secretly a witch? And so that I had to have been before I turned 11.
I think it came out in 97, right? So we might have been 10.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think I don't remember for sure. Maybe I don't know, unless I have my dates wrong, but...
Yeah, but yeah, it definitely... I really like that about that, too. And I kind of wonder now, like, kids who read it now, like, you... When you get to the later books, you wouldn't really grasp all of what's going on, which is fine, but that was kind of an interesting thing for us. It's like we didn't read the final book until we were in college, and there's a lot of complicated things and death and war and all these really heavy things going on. And I've even reread them. Yeah, both of us have reread them again as adults, and that was like a whole new experience even again as an adult because you have so much more life experience to bring to that.
Also, I feel like we should definitely link to Mark Read's Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Because that, like, was a whole new way to enjoy the book, too.
Yeah. I love Mark Reads. So Mark Reads is this blogger who reads and watches things in pop culture that he has previously had no experience with. And then he blogs about it. And so he read the Harry Potter books, I think, chapter by chapter. It was later when a lot of people had read them and he had never read them before and didn't know what to expect and came into it sort of blindly. And that was really wonderful. He does that for a bunch of different books and movies now. But I think it started with Twilight and Harry Potter. And it's really wonderful, too, to like compare the Twilight, like him reading Twilight and him reading Harry Potter, is like really great to see the differences.
Yeah, I think he read Twilight first and then went on to Harry Potter. And I have to say that I'm glad that he continued. Like, he's definitely made a career for himself by reading enjoyable books and like writing. It's like the coolest job ever.
I know. It's so impressive. I think he's so cool.
We've both read Twilight also. Mm-hmm. And yes. I enjoyed the story of Twilight.
You know what? I did it too. I feel like I enjoyed the books and I like read them pretty quickly. They're like a quick read and I read them all and I enjoyed them. I don't think I would go back to them necessarily, but it was
I don't think I would either.
It was like, you know, it was an enjoyable read. And I like I said, I like the movies. I like the movies more than I like the books.
I feel like I really liked the storyline with Twilight. What I hated, what killed Twilight for me was that it became this like widespread icon of teenage girls. And I don't think that the main character of Twilight is the best example for teenage girls.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I think she's pretty terrible.
Yeah, and she is pretty terrible.
Their relationship is pretty terrible. Like, I don't think Edward is great at all. I think he's like kind of awful and stalkerish and overbearing and controlling, and it's like really not a good example of a relationship. But as an adult, I can look at that and see that and be like, yep, not a good relationship. Like, I don't want to base my life on that. But it kind of worries me about like people who really might look up to that, which I don't think is good.
So that was my problem with it, because I really liked, I read Twilight. So my mom had sort of this like brief friendship with the author, and so my mom knew it was coming out before it was published, and she sent me the first book, and I really enjoyed it up until it went crazy. And I'm usually not like that. Like, when things get popular, I don't think it's like a sellout. I, you know, that's like people making money and that's good and we should all encourage that, but in this case, like, I was just like so upset by the general response.
Yeah.
Of, like, people thinking that it's real life.
Do you think – so you have more of a problem with the Twilight culture than the actual – Yes.
Absolutely. Because I enjoyed the story. I thought it was, you know, interesting and entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't really like the movies too much, but that's only because the actress is not my favorite. What is her name?
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, I think she's
– I'm, like, fascinated with her because I don't think she's a very good actress. And I don't really get her. And so I'm, like, really interested at what makes her – like, what qualities does she have that makes her so desirable? Like, I'm kind of – it's, like, kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's mean. But, like, I just don't really get the appeal that much. So I'm kind of fascinated that she's got so much success and people – not that – I mean, I'm certain she's deserved success. But, like – so many people love her, and so many directors and actors talk so highly of her, and I find that really interesting.
Yeah, I think it is too. Like, I feel like that her on-screen presence must not be the same as her real-life presence.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know how she could be successful otherwise.
But I also think, too, maybe she is a really great actress, because I don't think she's like Bella at all. Like, she's kind of surly and... she doesn't like smile on the red carpet. She doesn't wear like cutesy things. Like, she kind of just does her own thing and doesn't care. And that does not seem like Bella at all. But maybe she was just so natural, it seems like she wasn't really trying.
Maybe. Also, I feel like Bella is such a one-dimensional character in the books that like it would probably be really hard to play her.
Yeah. So maybe that's not really her fault too. Kind of like Secret Life and Amy.
Yeah. Right. Would you consider 50 Shades of Grey part of the young adult culture?
Well, I don't think that's really content for young adults, but it kind of is the same. Like, people view it as fluffier literature that doesn't matter. I don't know if that's because it's like meant for women, and so people kind of dismiss it. Because it's like a women's fantasy, and so people like assume it's like not as serious and not as good. And I read all the 50 Shades books, and it was kind of the same vein. Like, it was sometimes sort of infuriating with the characters, but it was like an easy read. And it got, I mean, the last book I didn't think was a, I mean, I thought it kind of got worse as it went along. But, you know, it's like in the same vein. It's kind of like an easy read and it's like fine and it's like interesting enough. And
I didn't even know that there was more than one book.
Yeah, there's three, but I do think it gets kind of worse. But that's like the same thing. It's like you've got this guy who's like got all this money and power and I don't know. But I don't know. I think maybe part of it is that it is like a women's fantasy sort of. I love the author and I love that she just like wrote this as fan fiction and it got crazy and she's like really successful and doesn't really – she seems really like down to earth and cool and kind of like, yep, I didn't expect this to happen either. And just like – I don't know. I think that's kind of fun. But yeah, I don't know if maybe a lot of this too is because it's like young girls like this stuff and it's teenagers. And so people in general are just like, oh, that's not as good or like not as legitimate entertainment.
Well, and that's what bugs me about when people poo-poo Harry Potter is that like it's actually like pretty decent writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think she's really talented, and one of the things that Mark Reeds kept bringing up was that she does a lot of description mm-hmm. really well.
And dialogue, I think her dialogue is good, and obviously her story is really good.
And the characters are really complex and, like, multidimensional, like, real people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I also really like Hunger Games.
Yes, I like Hunger Games a lot, too.
Although I hated the ending of that series
a yeah. lot. Fair.
But one of the things that I can't – is it Collins? No, what is the author of Hunger Games?
Suzanne Collins, I think, yeah.
Yeah, she wanted to write a young adult series about real-life things, right? That mm-hmm. was her – so that's why, you know, there's tragedy in it and it's all about war.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of like that idea of like presenting these real life issues in ways that teenagers or young adults can understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, good too, because I mean, you're respecting these people who are reading it then that they can like handle it and deal with real problems and stuff like that. Yeah. No, I like Hunger Games a lot and I like the movies. And I saw the first Divergent movie, and I really liked that, but I haven't read those books.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. What is the plot?
It's kind of like a post-apocalyptic thing, and the society, I think it's after, I don't know, maybe after some war or something, and this society is living actually in Chicago, what used to be Chicago, which is kind of cool. And they live in like factions, like they get sorted into different groups and each group has its own purpose. There's like the smart people who do like lawyer stuff and courtrooms and judges. And then there's like the helper people who do like doctors and healthcare and stuff like that. And then so they take like a test to get sent into these different groups. And there's this other group, like a small minority of people can't be assessed to one group. Like they have lots of different qualities and interests and stuff. And so they're called divergent and the government is trying to like squash down those people because it's like too much individualism and they could mess up their whole society. And
oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's like pretty, I mean, I like the movie. I thought it was pretty good. It's got Shailene Woodley in it too. And, Kate Winslet, I think, and some other people, but yeah, I liked it. And it was like a fun movie that was kind of action-y and cool. I thought
that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was books first. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I think there's books first. And I didn't read the books, but a friend of mine read the books. And she said that she didn't like the later books as much as she liked the first books. So I was kind of thinking maybe I should check them out. But then I was like, I don't know if maybe if I don't like the whole thing, maybe I won't. But
is the series over? Like, are all the books out?
I think so. I think it's just three, okay. Maybe four. But I think they're all out. I don't know for sure.
That's my rule. I don't – after Harry Potter, I will not start a series unless all of the books are out.
You know what's funny is we have a family book club in my family and we'll ask that same question. We'll be like, is everything out or are we waiting on stuff? And we just started we named the next book, which is going to be The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. And we asked that same question, and I think only the first two are out, and we were all like, oh, man. But
well, I feel like I waited like half my teenage years for Harry Potter books, so I won't do
I know. It again. You know what? My dad also has this story. He read the Dark Tower series by Stephen King, and those are all out now. But the first book came out in like the 80s maybe, or the 70s or something. It was like a long time, maybe not the 70s, but like the first book came out a long time ago, and then they would come out like 5 or 6 years or 10 years. And he waited like 20 years for the next book once, because Stephen King just like didn't write them for a long time. Stephen King wrote them. It's a Dark Tower series by Stephen King. And so whenever I like complain about waiting for a book to come out, my dad's like, I waited 20 years for the Dark Tower. But they're all out now, so you guys should read them. I know. And Stephen King got into a car accident in between too. So he like didn't write for 20 years and then got into this car accident where he was like near death and had to go, you know, they like airlifted him to the emergency hospital and like stuff like that. And so he like almost died without finishing the series, but then he got well and was like, maybe I should get writing again. And then he did.
Well, that's what happened with Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The author wrote 1, 2, and 3. No. Yeah, 1, 2, and 3, and 5 and 6, and died before he wrote 4.
Oh, yeah.
And so 3 comes to a conclusion. Like, there's an ending, thank God. But, like, there are I know in my head that there are 2 more books out there, and there's no bridge to get to them, and I'm dying.
Yeah, I had forgotten that about that series.
Because that series was probably the most impactful books I've ever read.
Wow.
As far as, like, I wouldn't say, like, long-term impact, but while I was reading them, like, there were times where I would, like, throw the book across the room because I was so angry at, like, what was happening.
That's funny.
And so, like, I feel like I had more emotional outbursts with that book than any of the others.
Interesting. That's cool.
Yeah. But that is definitely not young adult material. Please don't read that if you're a young adult.
Yeah.
It's really traumatic. Yeah. Are there any other not guilty pleasures that you have?
I think we've hit most of them. I'm sure there will be more if I thought about it, and there will be more in the future.
I know. Oh, you were talking about the Fosters.
Yes.
Is that young
which
adult?
Which I haven't. I think it's on ABC Family, I think, and it's like a drama show, and I've heard really great things about it. Like, I've heard it's really good. I feel like ABC Family is really killing it in the drama.
I know.
In the dramas lately. But, yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but it is on my list of to-dos, and I've heard of good things. And I think it's on Netflix, so you could get started on the first season, I think, on Netflix. But, yeah, I think young adult stuff gets like a bad rap and gets kind of diminished, and there's a lot of like rich, fun storytelling.
Yeah.
In books and in movies.
Yeah, I think it's fun. It's like, I think that the books are generally like quick and easy and engrossing.
Yeah.
And some adult books I have trouble with because they're so dense that I just like I lose interest.
Yeah, and I feel like that's not fun. Like, you're supposed to enjoy the reading process. Like, it doesn't have to be difficult or, like, academic. Like, you're supposed to want to read something and enjoy reading it. And I've read this thing once where I heard that – I don't know if this is true at all, but I heard that publishers can take more risks with young adult books, and so that's why some of the, like, more interesting stories and storytelling are coming out of that genre. I don't know how true that is necessarily, but I thought it was interesting.
That's really interesting. I bet that's – I mean, it sounds legitimate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just – I think I need to work on not feeling guilty about it. Like, I think I need to, like – sometimes I feel like I have to qualify, like, why I'm reading a book.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes I'll go to the young adult section of a bookstore or the library and, like, feel badly.
Yeah.
And I think I just need to, like, cool. Get over it because I do enjoy them a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I think always reading anything is better than reading nothing. So, like,
yeah,
if anyone is reading something that they don't think is smart or that they don't think is, like, good books, you're still reading and you're still like watching movies, and I think that's still good no matter what.
Well, and I think that's part of part of growing up too, is that like I think the general consensus is that as you age you start caring less about what other people think of you. Mm-hmm. And I think that if anything is like enjoying things you enjoy and owning that enjoyment is like good yes. practice for that, because
yeah,
you know, it doesn't really matter. You should do what you want.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point of like learning to be cool with liking the stuff you like. It's like a huge part of growing up for me. That like makes me feel more adult than a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Good talk.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for a lightning round?
I am ready, but I don't know if I have much to add.
I know. I was just thinking that too. Well, it can be a mini one. We can see what we got.
Sounds good. What are you reading right now?
I am reading Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman. I just picked it up on a whim at the library, and I'm really enjoying it. It's like a fantasy. I don't know if it's adult or young adult. I really can't tell, which is maybe a good thing. And it's like, I really like it. It's like kind of fun and cool. And it's about this guy who helps this woman who was injured on the street. And then he kind of gets tangled up in her problems. And there's like a normal London where like you and I would live if we lived in London. And then there's like an underground London where it has all these like different people and creatures that can do all these things that like live underneath London. And it's like a whole different world down there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's pretty fun.
I'm not reading much these days. I found an old copy of Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Oh, I love that book.
At my parents' house. And I'm like rereading it. But I just don't think I'm cut out for poetry, because I don't really understand what is brilliant about it, but lots of people think it's brilliant, so I think I'm just missing it.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, I like those books because I remember reading them when I was younger and thinking they were like funny or cool or something. Like that poem yeah. about the people who are stuck at the traffic light and politely waiting for the traffic light to turn green and it like never does. I think about that sometimes.
That's a good point.
And they're like cheerful about it for like years.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely like it's good for kids because they're like funny poems yeah. and poetry is like good to be exposed to. But I don't know. I don't understand the adult significance behind them.
Yeah, fair. What are you wearing? What's your favorite outfit?
So I have this, lace top. It's like lace all the way. And then you wear mm-hmm. like something under it. So you're not like naked, you know? Mm-hmm. And it takes me, I like it a lot, but it's kind of scratchy on my arms. And so like I wear it like every 6 months because it takes me that long to forget that it's scratchy yeah. on my arms, but I really like the way it looks, and someone complimented me at the mall today, so that's nice. Probably my favorite outfit. What about you?
I have this shirt that is like a blouse that's kind of big and loose and flowy, and it's white and has this like blue pattern on it that I really like, and I wore that to our like family get together.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, probably that.
Sidebar, how was the reunion? Good?
Oh, it was so fun. Yeah, it was good. It was really fun to see everyone, and our family has really cute kids. There's not an ugly kid in this whole family, and so it was, like, really fun to see everyone, and the kids were playing together, and there's a lot of, you know, everyone just had kids, so there's, like, a bunch of babies around, and it was fun.
That's good. Good. I'm glad mm-hmm. you got to go.
Yeah, me too.
Are you making anything delicious lately?
I am not, and I'd like to think it was just because I was out of town and I have nothing in the fridge, and so I'm recovering, but, like, I'm just not that good at making things. I picked up a rotisserie chicken, though, and some salad from the deli, so that will be my dinner tonight.
That sounds good. When you first moved to Chicago and you were eating a lot of, I don't know how to pronounce it, is it banh mi?
Yeah, sandwiches. Banh mi.
Mm-hmm. I have, like, ever since you told me you had one, I'm, like, craving it, and I haven't been able to find anywhere that has
them. Oh, no. They're so good. We just had them again last week.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I just need some.
Mm-hmm. Come visit me, we'll get some.
Send me some. That would be good. Mm-hmm. I'm making sticky chicken tonight. I don't know what that is. It's, like, a crock pot dinner, And there's orange and honey and soy sauce in it.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
So that's what's cooking in the crock pot right now. But I don't know how it's going to be. So hopefully it's delicious.
I bet it will be.
That's pretty much all I got.
Okay, cool. Well, where can we find you?
You can find me, Jules, at ovenlovinblog.com or on Twitter at Julesy or on Instagram at Jules Freiner. What about you?
I'm on raisedays.com and I'm on Twitter at RCL Newton and on Instagram at Ray Newton.
Cool. Sounds good.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.